This RFM podcast was brought to you with the support of New Zealand On Air.
Good morning, Wairarapa. Nice to be back again. RFM 92.7 and Aging With Attitude. That's what we are, Aging With Attitude. So, welcome again this morning. I've got a guest this morning. I'll let him introduce yourself and to my usual co-host.
Kia ora, it's Susan here. Anthony's other... other half on yeah. the sound waves anyway.
Crime.
Yeah, accomplice in crime. So we were just commenting actually about how chilly today is, and it is really chilly. My nose and my toes are very chilly.
Well, we were talking about snails. Her husband got some snails the other day just because there's so many around. I don't know what it's like at your place, but at her place and my place, lots and lots of snails. But the best snail, as I said, is the ones that we get out of the sea. Our beautiful, beautiful paua. Some don't know, but it's our biggest snail that we have in Aotearoa, and the most delicious ones. Better than those ones in France with those escargots. Yes, it tastes delicious with garlic and garlic butter. Tastes delicious like that also. But I digress. I'd like to introduce everyone to our other guests today. Actually, I'll let him introduce himself.
Yes, good morning. Nice to be here. I'm Sam Milligan. I'm from Wanda Search Wairarapa. That's related with our search rescue group. And I'm just here this morning to tell you a bit about what we get up to and the service we provide for the public of the Wairarapa.
Oh, kia ora, Sam. Good morning to you. Wanda Search, how long have you been involved with that, Sam?
Well, Wanda Search, we've just done our 10th year now.
Okay.
I initiated it, say, 2014. I suggested it at one of our meetings that it would be good for the Wairarapa to have that service provided. And the committee on the day decided, yes, we should run with it. And then the ball started rolling.
Okay. How did you come up with this idea, or what inspired you, or how did you know about this particular...
I've been tied up with search and rescue in the Wairarapa for 54 years now, and I have contacts all over the country, and I spoke with people in Christchurch that were operating Wanda Search at the time, and a colleague in Wellington, and I thought, well, why doesn't the Wairarapa have that service here?
Okay.
So once we had the go ahead to get it up and running, I talked to members of the local Rotary and Lions clubs and other service organisations, and was invited along to as guest speakers on some of their evening dinners, and that was successful. Each group gave us a donation of some funding.
Nice.
And that enabled us to buy a receiver or two, and also a number of Wanda Track pendants.
Okay, let's go back a couple of steps there, Sam. How did Wanda Search evolve? I mean, the technology, what's that all about? What is it about?
The Wanda Search technology is old technology, but very reliable and very cost-effective. It's been used for years, going back into probably the 60s, for tracking animals.
Oh, okay.
And also in the deer recovery days, when they were capturing animals alive, they would be using a dart gun with two darts. One dart would have the tranquilizer, and the other dart would have the tracking device. And they'd dart the deer, and then they'd go on and may tranquilise, say, up to half a dozen deer and go back to where the first one was tranquilised, and with the tracking aerial on the front of the helicopter and the tracker going inside, the pilot could track where the animal was due to the strength of the signal.
Okay.
And once they got over it, the other crew member would hop out and he would do his chores to tie the deer up and package it ready to be lifted out to the road end and off to farms.
Oh, so is that device similar to those what they have for finding kiwi?
Exactly. Same system, same technology. You often see it in Africa on their safari programs where they've put collars around some of the big cats and other animals, and that's the same principle. As I say, it's been around for years. It's very reliable. The battery life on our little pendants, there'll be new batteries available. They will run for 7 months, but at 6 monthly intervals, we change them over. So a person, when he's issued with a pendant, we record when that 6 month will be up, and just prior to that, I would contact the carer and arrange to pop round and see them and take the old pendant off the person that's wearing it and issue and fit them a new pendant.
Okay, let me ask, I'm going to want to go back a couple of steps again, just so that I can catch up. So before they put them a collar on animals, right, to check them, how big is the pendant?
The pendant is only around about inch and a quarter heart-shaped.
Okay.
And it has two cords that come out of the pendant, and in one of those necklace cords is a very fine wire, and that is the antenna for the transmitter that is in the pendant.
Oh.
So the pendant is small in size, but it's fitted with a small battery for long life. It's got the little transmitter in there and other electronics where the pendant can be turned on when it's required and turned off. And you're using a little magnet and hit the pendant at around about the 7 o'clock mark.
Mm-hmm.
And when it's starting up, you hear it beeping, and remove the magnet, and that'll be transmitting. And from the receiving unit, you can see that the transmitter's been turned on, and also on the gain meter, you can see the strength of that by the dial on the meter going up to maximum range.
Okay. So you're saying that the antenna is woven into the cord, or how does that work? Or is it just
I don't know how they do it, but I think when they make the nylon cord...
Yeah,
the nylon cord is probably threaded around the thin wire.
Okay,
and that is the antenna for the transmitter, small transmitter.
Okay, so this would be my next question, because I am very curious about it. If I have one of those trackers on, right? If I have one of those trackers on, do I have my own frequency, or otherwise, you could go to a place and there might be 10 people with them on, you know, in different areas, and then you don't know who's the one that you're looking for.
No, each pendant has its own frequency.
Yep.
And there's a small gap between frequencies. When you issue a pendant, we record the frequency off that pendant. Now, there's probably very little chance that the original... person we give it to will ever get that one back.
Okay.
It's different frequencies. Now, in the wire wrapper, we have what we call it's a 310 frequency plus a three-figure fraction, and there's about a 2.5 decibel difference between frequencies to allow us to have four pendants working in one number range.
Okay.
In big areas like Auckland, where they've got over 1,000 pendants out in the field up there, they run two channels. There's the 310 channel and also the 311 channel. So that gives them the option of having probably a couple of thousand pendants in operation. Now, also, the range of the pendant with the normal standard necklace length and in a reasonable... surroundings where you can get to a prominent spot, you should possibly get 10 to 12 kilometre range.
Oh, wow.
The pendants I put on young children are a much shorter necklace length, and that brings the range of those down to between 5 and 6K. We did have a watch pendant available years back, but the antenna is built into the watch, so the range of that is around about a kilometre. So we've gone away from those here because most of our pendants are issued to people in all, well, they're actually in all of the towns through the Wairarapa, plus in some country locations. So we've got them with the long necklace pendants on to give us maximum range.
And who would ask for a pendant? Who would be given a pendant and why?
Well, I work very closely here with the two groups in town. One is Alzheimer's Wairarapa, and they cater for dementia Alzheimer's patients. And the other group is the Wairarapa Autism Charitable Trust.
Okay.
And they deal with children and some adults with autistic cognitive impairments. And a lot of children or wearers of dependents, they're suffering from some cognitive condition within the autism spectrum, and that can be quite numerous.
Mm.
So I rely on them to, they have copies of our paperwork, which is our application form to get a pendant. And both groups, they're dealing with their clients on a daily basis, so they know when conditions deteriorate in the patient and when they would benefit from having a wander track pendant on. And with some children in the autism spectrum, when they're younger, probably from 3.5 on, they can be runners. So if they notice the gates open, they can get out and go. So this is the main reason for putting the pendants on the younger ones. They start off about 3.5 years old, and they go up to, I've got one young chap now, he's a teenager now, and he's, 17, 18, and he's had a pendant on him for about 8 years, so they grow with it. But the autistic children, we find that once they get to school age, primary school, they seem to not so much grow out of the condition, but with different medications they put them on, and I guess being in the schooling surroundings and with age, you'll find that by the time they get to about 8 or 9 years old, the parents consider they no longer need a pendant, and then we take it off.
Okay.
But they're also told that if the condition should deteriorate again, just ring us as soon as they can, and we'll refit a pendant to them if required.
Mm.
We find with, at the moment, we're going through a spell where we're getting a lot of young children who are suffering from cognitive impairments, and I feel that's a new generation of children coming through at the moment, and I've issued 9 pendants over the last 6 or 7 months to children in the age group from 3.5 through to 6. And of those children, you could say 90% of them are quite passive. They accept the pendant well, and there's no trouble. But the other 10%, the children suffer from moments of anger and I guess torment or whatever, and they can be quite hard on the pendants themselves, and they will do everything from chewing them to using a bit like a hammer, which won't break them, but it will loosen up the internal workings of the pendant. And that's there. But the main thing we've found too with those children, the majority of them come from single parent families, and they're not alone, a solo child. They generally got one or two other siblings they live with, and on a number of occasions I often ask the carer, do you take them down to the park very often? And the reply I get is no, we daren't leave the section, because if we go to the park and the wearer of the pendant decides to go a runner, the parent can't leave her other two siblings alone and run after him.
Mm.
So I said, now when you go to the park, he's got a pendant on, the police have got all his details, just get your phone out and dial 111, ask for the local police search and rescue coordinator, talk to them and tell them who your son's name, that he's wearing a Wanda Track pendant, and immediately any patrol cars they've got patrolling in the immediate area, the police will get those to go into that area, and in most cases they will locate the child out on a footpath or a track or something like that, and get him back to the carer, and that gives them peace of mind too, that the person with a parent can be found and located quickly and reunited with his carer.
Yeah, it sounds also too that it enables the wearer to have a bit more freedom, because you know the parent said, "Yeah, well, we'll take him to the park now," because we know that there's a Wanda Track on him, and if he decides to run, then we've got peace of mind that he can be found quite quickly. Because you said that the distance that the receiver will pick up is 10 kilometres, and so that must be some relief for the parent as well.
Yes, it's good. It is. It gives them freedom, because most of the homes and sections, when we go around to visit to put the pendant on the child, they're well fenced, and the fence is there to make sure they stay in.
Mm.
But it's just gives the parents that whole, changes their whole environment, that they can actually go out with all of the children to the park and let them experience the facilities that are down there, and not having to worry that if one runs, then he's going to be located very quickly and brought back to the mother or father again.
Mm. Yeah. That must be very soothing and relieving for the parent. But just a bit of a shout out also to the skate park on Friday night. There was the opening of the youth hub at the skate park. Awesome night. So to all those organisers of that particular event, great job, well done. It was a great evening. But getting back to the pendant, is it what, because if you want to keep them to keep it on, right? Is it waterproof and all that kind of stuff? Because they might want to go for a swim. Or do they have to take it off? What's the deal?
No, they are. They're fully sealed. Some, mainly adults these times, they've got it with Alzheimer's or dementia. We put them on them and they're fixed on them for the 6-month term. And they can shower in them, bathe in them, go for a swim in them, no problem.
Great.
They're on there, and the only way they can be taken off is physically cut off.
Okay.
The children pendants, they have a small catch on them, and we put them on the kiddies. I've been to the local milliners and picked up some different multicoloured ribbon material, and we've made little sleeves out of the ribbon by folding them over and sewing a seam on them.
All right.
So what we do, we undo the catch and feed that onto the one half of the necklace, and then we put it around their neck and screw the catch together, and then slide the cotton over the nylon cord back down to the pendant. So they've got that there, and that is a matching colour or it's got some pattern on it. And the kids accept that. And the main reason we use the catches, the little catches on the children's pendants, that at times the child might get a bit agitated about wearing it every day of the week. So at any time the parents can slip that cord onto one half of the necklace and undo the catch and then hang it up, say over a weekend or something like that. And it gives the child a spell, and then when they're going out again, just put the pendant back on them.
Our parents have been quite innovative in the way that they attach the pendant to their particular, or the to their child. I've heard of one instance where one parent, their daughter, while she's at home, doesn't have her hair tied up, but she knows when she goes out, she has to have her hair tied up. So they put the pendant on a hair tie. And because they know that she won't take it off, because I have to have my hair done. Another one I've heard of is a boy who, when he goes out, has his shoes on and he doesn't take his shoes off. He'll take all the other things off, like a shirt and all that kind of stuff, a pendant, but he won't take his shoes off. So they've tied it to his shoe, because the parent knows the child, and they, this is the best one for them. And so, yeah, they put it on his shoe, and it seems to work for them, you know. And it comes back to the parent knows what their child's behaviour is like and what is best for their child. So they've been coming up with some innovative ways for them to wear the pendant, which is really cool, which is really cool. But you spoke about Alzheimer's, those who have dementia, Alzheimer's. I heard of one man, he used to go for a walk 10 hours each day, he used to wander. This was down, I think it's Westport, somewhere down the west coast anyway. And he got a pendant. His wife got him a pendant because he just liked walking. He was a farmer. That's what he liked doing. And he went, one day he was walking, decided, I think it was about 1 o'clock in the morning, he decided to go for a walk to Kaikoura. And he went for a walk to Kaikoura. And he was walking in the middle of the road because he could see the white lines, so he wouldn't fall off the edge of the road. And a truckie come through and saw him. And was only because he had this pendant, because the wife was asleep, had this pendant on that. They contacted the police, and the police knew who he was from the pendant. Yeah, so a lot of really cool stories, especially in terms of a peace of mind, knowing that, you know, this person, if they wander, you know, there's a way to be able to track them and bring them home. Yeah. What other stories do you have?
We have a... Well, when we interview the person that's going to receive the pendant, often they're with a family member, and straight away they'll tell me he doesn't like the idea of wearing a pendant, he or she. So we have to think of some innovative ways of what they do, and I suggest, do they have anything they take with them wherever they go? And I remember in one case it was an elderly lady, and she would never go anywhere without a handbag. So that made it quite easily. So we just laid the pendant out in one of the back pouches on her handbag. So that covered that one. We've had several men that have had mobility scooters, and the family warners that if they find a pendant, they'll throw it away. So I have to make sure that they're kept well away from where the scooters are parked, and I'll go down there, and I could spend up to an hour concealing the pendant on the mobility scooter. Mm-hmm. So wherever they go, they can't walk very far at all, so they're on their scooter, so we can track that if they fail to return, track it there. Another one is a person that's living in a home now, and he wears a certain jacket all the time. And the family, when I issue new pendants to them, they will get that jacket, or have two jackets the same, and they will sew that pendant into the seam of the jacket. So the wearer is completely oblivious of the fact that they've got this monitoring device on them. Mm. So we've had to be a little bit...
creative.
Use a bit of innovation, innovate a bit at times. I mean, everyone's a bit different. Most of the people we deal with in rest homes, etc., if you can have a conversation with them, they will accept that they're going to wear a pennant, because we emphasise it's for their safety and also for peace of mind for the carers.
Mm-hmm.
And in several cases, I've had the home put a hook on the wall right next door to their door from their room. And we hang the pendant on that hook. And we say, look, when you're going to go out, if you're going to just walk down the corridor and have a meal, don't worry about that. But if you're going to go out of the premises, the pendant's there, just slip it over your neck, tuck it down in your shirt, and away you go. Mm. And when you come back to your room, take it off and hang it back on the hook. And we've had to tell the nurses, please keep an eye on that person wearing it.
Yeah.
If you see he's going out and hasn't got the pendant around his neck, and go to his room, and if it's there, make sure he's got it on. But if it's not there, then some people you can talk to and ask them what they've done with things, and they will give you a response. But the majority, you can't get a straight answer from them. So I said, if that case, that situation presents itself, ring me straight away, and myself or one of our other helpers, they'll turn up at the rest home with a tracking unit, and we'll locate the pendant very quickly for them, and they can start the ball rolling again. Mm-hmm. So, it's just a bit different there. Now, the problem we've got to be aware of too, like in one rest home we had three people wearing pendants in the rest home. So if one goes missing, because of the closeness of the frequencies for each pendant, you still get a signal, a little bit of a whisp from your receiver that there's others still alive in the building. So what we've got to do is walk around and just turn those two off, so we've only got the target pendant we're looking for. And we had a case earlier in the year where a person had moved from the facility he was in to a secure facility, and the staff had gone up and cleared all his belongings out of the room and
gathered up the pendant,
put them out in the store shed. And when we come to get the pendant, I turned up at the facility and was getting a signal from the pendant. So I thought, well, it's there. So we went down to his room and checked his room out. No, it wasn't in there, but the signal was quite strong. And it indicated it was down at one end of the building. So we went down there, went outside, and couldn't see it there, couldn't track it. And talking to staff and management, they said, oh no, I'm pretty sure he was wearing it when he left. And we said, well, there's something wrong, it's here.
Breaking
up. So I called a second person around with his tracking gear, and with the two units, we could actually go from different parts of the thing and triangulate and come in. And it appears that it's in this big store shed. And they opened it up for us, and of course on the floor there was, it must have been a pile of about 10 of those big black rubbish bags all tied up. And we said, what's all the stuff here? Oh, so that's the belongings of the person that's just vacated the room, the one you're looking for. I said, rightio. So I said, it's in one of these bags. So we had to physically pick a bag up and take it outside. And when you're like that, you can use but at close range, you take your tracking aerial off and put a little wee short aerial on the receiver. And you use your body as a shield, so you can actually there, and there's a signal there, and if you turn 180 degrees, the signal drops right off, so you know it's back there. So we'd get each bag out individually and check it with our body, with all the other bags behind our body, and no, there's nothing in that one, so bring another one out. I think it was about the 8th or 10th bag they brought out, and I said, it's in that one. But we have to have someone from, a staff member from the facility to do the looking for us. We don't start looking in drawers or cases or whatever. So they got that out and opened up the bag, and there was clothing in there. And they had to bring out each garment and unfold them, and sure enough, we found it wrapped up in a piece of clothing. So, yeah, there's technique. You learn after the years, there's techniques on how to use the equipment and go from there. We had that teenage boy I was talking about earlier on. He lived out in the Morrisall area. And his mother rang up and said, look, we can't find his pendant. So two of us went out there and got out of the car, and straight away, it's in the house, it's there somewhere. So we went into his room, and a typical teenager's room. He had all sorts of posters on the walls, all sorts of models and toys and things around. And the indication was it was at the wall with the window in it, and but to make sure we were still getting signal in some other areas of the room, so we had to look through all the toys, all the boxes of puzzles and things like that, and we came to the conclusion, no, it must be outside. So we went out round the house to that side, and we got the signal all right, but we looked under the house there and in the garden, nothing. But it was indicating that it was still in that area somewhere. And so we went back into the house and back to his room. And we're still getting that signal near the window. And we come round the wall a wee bit with the transmitter. And we just sort of couldn't sort out what was going on there. And we said to his mother, what's in the room on the other side of that wall? She said, oh, that's the wash house. So we went out there, round through the kitchen and that, into the wash house, and got going again with a little wee short aerial on the receiver, and we come down. We said, it's in that washing machine. So we had to open the door up and luckily the stuff hadn't been washed, bring the garments out, and sure enough, his mother, in one of the pockets of a pair of jeans, he was a pendant. So
good boy for putting out his washing.
It was amazing. Yeah, it was amazing. And so there's never two occasions that are the same. You're learning all the time, and now being in it for 10 years,
yeah,
we're pretty up with most of the things. But they still come across the odd thing that amazes us. It's just something different. Or I've got people in Manawatu, Wellington, a lady on Christchurch, and if I get a bit stuck, I can use them as a sounding board and ring them up and have a chat with them and just say, we've got this problem, what have you used in your area?
Yeah.
And they say, we haven't experienced that one yet, but that's it. But just recently, with these latest group of kids, two of them in particular, they've been very hard on pendants, and these are a 5 and a 6 year old. Well, one young guy, we put the pendant on him, and we thought, well, his mother said he's we'll see how he accepts it. So I rang the following morning and said, Dad, how'd he go? Did he accept the pendant? Oh, yeah, he's accepted it now. It's good, fine. So give a sigh of relief, and that was that. But she rang me a month later and said, he's just come in and handed me the pendant. And what he'd done, he'd actually been tugging on the cord, the necklace cords, and actually pulled one of the wires out from the pendant.
Okay.
Because they're glued into that. They're soldered into a connection and glued in. So I said, okay. So I popped down a day later and put a new pendant on him and accepted that one fine. But that lasted 6 weeks, and she rang me a week or two back to say he came out and it's in two halves. So I'm at wit's end now. I thought, well, what am I going to do? And then one night on television, there was a program there, and a lady was wearing it was almost like a power shell
brooch
thing on a chain, on a cord, and it was there. And then when it came off, when the cord came off the brooch, it went into almost like a bit of costume jewellery, but it had a little middle sleeve in it, and the cords came through that, and they were tied off with a knot, and then they went up to go to be the necklace. You could put that over a head, but it meant that brooch was locked in. It couldn't be slipped up and down the cord or damaged. And I thought, gosh, this could be an idea. So I went and saw a person at a local saddlery that he'd done some work for me in the past. And I said, I saw this brooch, and I've had an idea. Do you think you could make a little leather pouch up, the same shape as the pendant, that we could make it up out of a nice bit of leather? Don't sew the bottom piece up, just leave that open and leave a little hole at the top so we can actually feed the cord through and then liven the pendant up and pull it into there and then sew the bottom up so that it's completely sealed and protected. And so he found a scrap of leather, and three quarter of an hour later we had a prototype made. And I said, this is great, I'll take it home now. So I took it home, and we'd bought for our granddaughter a craft box where kids can make bracelets and costume jewellery themselves. And my wife said, oh, there's some packets of beads in here, coloured beads. And sure enough, she found them, and they were a bead about so long, about big as your fingernail, with a hole through the middle with a little metal sleeve through. So she got me three out. I chose pick three out and fed them onto the necklace cord and tied a knot on it. So that was locked off. And it was meant that the pendant was 100% safe in that pouch. The beads were there, so he couldn't pull the cord out of the pendant because it was locked in.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, oh, I've solved the problem. So I showed it to his mother, and she was tickled pink. She said, oh, this could be good. I said, do you think he would wear it? Yeah, she said, I'm pretty sure he would. So last week we went back, and I got two new ones, two pouches made up. And the guy's done a magic job on them. But the first one, I left the pendant with him for the pattern, and he had made it, and he had the pendant in the pouch, but he'd sewn the pouch up through the sewing machine. So it was there, and I said, well, how do I liven up that pendant now? Mm. Because you use a wee magnet to go onto the pendant at about 7 o'clock on one side of it, and you'll hear it activate the turn off switch. And to turn them off, you put the magnet back on a similar area, and you'll hear it doing the closing down phase. So he said, try it. So no, with the leather, it was quite thick leather, it was a shield, and the magnet couldn't penetrate that. So I said, well, you'll have to cut that open. But he said, what if we punched a couple of wee holes in the leather, on one side of the leather there, where you would use your magnet? So I said, well, right, okay. So he got another scrap of leather and wrapped the pendant up in that, and no, it wouldn't. I couldn't get it to activate the pendant to turn it on. So he got a wee punch out and punched three little holes there and wrapped it up again, and hello, bingo, we can turn them off easily and we can turn them on easily. So that solved that problem. So what I can do now is the two pendants, he's there, I got there, I put pendants inside them, and he sewed them up so they're completely sealed. And these two first examples have got these wee holes in the back of them, and you just go right there with your magnet, and they operate with turning on and turning off, that's fine. Now, I had a lady come in and see me at home last week, and she handles Wanda Track in the Manawatu. And I was telling her about this problem, and I showed her the prototype, and she was, this could be a problem. It could be the problem solved for her as well. So I showed her the two new ones, and she was over the moon, so she's taking photographs.
Mm-hmm.
And she was saying to go and talk to the autistic group.
Oh, great.
In the Manawatu.
Great. And how do people get in contact to apply for a Wanda pendant, a Wanda tracker?
Well, I as I said earlier, I deal principally with the autism Wairarapa.
Okay.
And autism, Alzheimer's Wairarapa.
So would they contact those two organisations?
And they're dealing with people, their clients, on a daily basis. So they know just by talking to the carer and observing the child or the adults whether they would benefit from having a Wanda Track pendant.
Okay.
And if they do, they will ring me and say, look, I've got a pending client, it's Mr. So-and-so, he's got early stage dementia and he's wandering, but we're concerned he may forget how to get home.
Okay.
So I just say, yeah, okay, if you think they would benefit from a pendant, you complete our paperwork. So they meet with the carer, fill in all the details for us. They will ring me when they've got the details in their office. I will go in and have a look through it all, and if it's fine, I will say, yeah, go ahead, arrange a time for them to come into your office, and I'll meet with them and put a pendant on the person.
So the referrals are done through, the referrals you get will be from either Alzheimer's or autism Wairarapa?
Yep. I do get the odd one from the local police.
Okay, yes.
Where they've been called out for a person gone missing from home. And that's the case where a part of the family is obviously suffering from Alzheimer's or dementia. They will go for walks, and they've probably been going out for short walks for quite a while, and suddenly they haven't come home. They get the police involved, and they'll go and send car patrols out and start searching the area for them. They'll get them back.
Yeah.
And then that's okay. And then the police will get called out again, say, fortnight later.
And then they'll come and see
the same
you.
Person.
Yeah.
And then they'll email me and say, look, we've had a second run with this person. We think they would benefit from having a Wanda Track pendant provided for them. And here are the contact details for the carer. I will see them. But there are, now that there's more and more people aware of the service in the Wairarapa, and I do get individuals ringing me now because they might be often it might be the wife rings up, and I've found out where you are. My husband has been doing quite a bit of walking, which is fine, but he didn't come home the other day, and a member of the public saw him wandering around aimlessly, contacted the police, and they brought him home. So I'm wondering, could you pop round and see me and have a chat about your Wanda Track system?
Yeah. So whereabouts how can people get in contact with you then?
Well, going to those agencies.
Yeah.
Or we have a website now.
Okay, so what's the name of the website?
We have a website, and it's Wanda Search Wairarapa.
Okay.
Just go into that. bring it up, and you'll see all of our details.
Oh, good.
There's a copy. We do have a two-page flyer we produced a couple of years back.
Okay.
And that tells you everything you need to know about Wander Track.
Yeah.
All our contact details are on there, email address. So
So what's the name of that site again?
It's Wander Search Wairarapa.
Wander Search Wairarapa. So people, if you need Sam's service, Wander Search Wairarapa is a good place to start. If you want to have peace of mind if your person is wandering around and gets lost sometimes. But Sam, thank you so much for today. Really appreciate it. Susie.
I've got a question. How much does it cost?
A Wander Search pendant itself is $290. And there is a requirement for the carer to establish an automatic payment to Wander Search for $10 per month. And that will cover the cost in 6 months' time when we have to send them back to the manufacturer.
Okay, yes.
And they get completely refurbished and we get them back. So that's what it costs us to get them refurbished. But recently, all over the last 2 years, 2.5 years, we've noticed with these single parent families, they can't afford the $290. So we have an unwritten policy that we will not deny anyone access to a pendant due to their financial predicaments. So the bulk of these children that have had pendants, they are provided free of charge to them.
Wow.
Through the kind generosity of getting me applying for grants for that purpose. And we were well supported by the Wairarapa Building Society recently and the Masterton Trustlands Trust.
Oh, nice.
Gave us funding to help with our running operating costs for Wander Search, and that included the cost of providing pendants free of charge. So when the pendants are issued in those cases, we generally give the letter to the carer outlining that to enable us to do these, provide this facility free of charge, is through the generous
donations
from either of those two groups. And I'm very pleased, very happy to get that funding. And that is also, all those details are in our website.
Oh, great.
We've put in there little articles of thanks to both organisations.
Wander Search Wairarapa.
Yeah.
Great.
And I guess WINS could get involved if people are receiving support through WINS as well, for ongoing for that $10 a month or something.
WINS are involved. The WINS system seems to be different in each
area.
Different area. Some areas they will pay for the pendants, but down here in the Wairarapa, they wouldn't.
Wow.
So 3 years ago, the ladies at Autism Wairarapa arranged a meeting with a senior staff member from the local WINS office, and they advised me to come down on this date at this time to meet her. So we went down there and had a good meeting with her, and I had the gear out on the table. And so I explained how it all worked and turned the receiver on, and she could hear the pulse coming off the receiver, off the transmitter. And the ladies there were really good, and they say, look, WINS, you fund hearing equipment for kids with cognitive impairments. This is not much different from that. It's their impairment that's causing the problem. This is another safety measure to ensure that the child is covered if they do a runner or leave home. And straight away she said, yeah, we'll fund that.
Oh, wow.
So we broke the barrier there, and over the last 3 years we've provided a number of pendants, through that system. So the Alzheimer's people will contact that lady in Winds, give her the details, and she will then say, yeah, go ahead, just get Sam to send the invoice to her. So I can issue the pendant the following morning. That evening I can get an invoice prepared, email that through, and it's like everything else. The funds are in the bank within a couple of days.
Oh, that's great. Nice.
Mm. Well, that's great, Sam.
So we've done that, and we've had another one from another group just in the building next to Wins, and they deal with hearing disabilities. And the person there got hold of me and had a young child with a hearing disability, and they provided funding for a pendant for him as well. So, yeah, we're slowly breaking the barriers down.
Yeah.
Great.
But it's like everything else. We don't receive any government funding of any sort.
Yeah.
So we just got to go out and
find
apply
some.
For grants, keep us going, and it's getting harder and harder.
Mm.
We've got to compete with more and more groups looking for funds. But I must say that the service clubs in the Wairarapa, and also the businesses in the Wairarapa, and the councils too, with their community grants, they have been very good to us over the last 4 or 5 years, and it's kept us afloat.
Mm.
Sam, thank you for coming in to us and talking to us today about Wonder Tracker. And so, and as I said earlier, if there are people out there who need Sam's services, go to Wonder Search, and have a look at all the information that's on the web and get contact with Sam or one of his colleagues so that you'll have peace of mind. But again, thank you very much for today, Sam. But for Susie and I, it's a sad time, I suppose, for us, Susie. This is our last show today with Aging with Wairarapa, and that's just because I'm leaving. And so it's been nice sharing this airtime with you, Susie, and also our listeners and the many guests that we've had on the show. And so from
it's a great opportunity, isn't it? Or been a great opportunity to showcase other community organisations and, get the opportunity to rack their brain on a Monday morning when everyone's pretty tired after a weekend.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think I was a bit shocked when you got the spot that it was going to be a Monday, because Mondays are always a little bit, hard to get your mind ticking away.
But other than that... Yeah.
I'll miss Monday... the third Monday of the month.
Yeah.
I'll think of you, Anthony.
I'm sure you will. But from myself, from Aging with Attitude, 92.7 FM, for me, I'm hoping this isn't the last for Susie. I'm hoping, because she likes it so much. But for me, I think I'll finish like this. So long, farewell, arvida zain, goodbye.